Health Radio.
Health Radio.
It's all about sound health information.
With no appointment needed.
Health Radio.
You're listening to Health Radio. There's nothing more important than when your children are sick. That's why we're here with sound advice, with expert guests provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children on Health Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
Hi, welcome to the show. My guest is Dr. Charles Wibblesman. He's chief of the Teenage Clinic at Kaiser Permanente, chair of the Adolescent Medicine Subspecialists. He has also written a book called The Teenage Body Book, and you can get that. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon. Can they get it on Amazon, Dr. Wibblesman?
Amazon is the easy way to get it.
Okay, so Dr. Wibblesman, when we think of boys and fast cars and fast-moving things, and do boys have beliefs about their vulnerability to injury that are different than, say, adults?
Oh, adolescents especially. It can't happen to me. I'm going to live forever. And so, you know, they don't have the experience of life where something bad has happened and they know, hey, you know, you don't drive 80 miles an hour on this wide open road because, you know, something could run out in front of you. So they don't have life's experience to sort of teach them about being cautious. And so many times, the adolescents, I will live forever, I'm invulnerable. And this really is the basis for them to take so many risk behavior choices.
So as a parent, our biggest fear is something like that happening to our children, car accidents mostly, or drinking too much at a party or doing something. But, you know, kids do think, oh, well, I can do this drug. I'm just doing it once or something.
Right.
So how do we discuss this with our kids about this, you know, hey, you're not immortal. Bad things can happen.
They're not going to listen to us, but we are the ones who have to kind of sort of understand that this is their behavior and there's a certain amount of impulsivity. One of the things, you know, that I had mentioned when we were talking over the break is that we have a questionnaire before we see all adolescents who come in for like a well adolescent visit, and on the questionnaire is, have you ever been in a car when someone was drinking? Do you have a gun in your home? So again, you know, these are difficult issues, and some people don't want to be asked this question, but we have to realize that this impulsivity that we see in adolescents, where all of a sudden, you know, they're going to get upset, they're going to grab a gun, they're going to get into a car, oh, I want to go to the party. Well, you know, here's somebody who's driving with a beer can in his hand. You know, and the adolescent, they are not going to make this decision that I'm not going to get in the car because somebody has a beer can. They're just going to get in the car. So it's really important, you know, as parents to, first of all, you know, I feel very strongly, you know, if there is a gun in the home, that it be locked up. I've lost too many patients who have had access to a gun and killed themselves because there was a gun in the home that was not locked up. It's also important, you know, to let a teen know that, hey, if they need a ride and they're going to get into a car and somebody is stoned or drinking, that, hey, somebody else will give you a ride. Don't get into this car.
Okay, so right there. How do you impart that to your kids? Do you say, no matter where you are, no matter what time of the day or night, I will come and get you. I won't be mad. Here's my credit card. You can always call a cab. Please don't get into these cars.
Yes. Because you could say, just like if you open the door of a building and there's a fire inside, you're not going to walk inside. So, you know, if you're in a situation where somebody's drinking and driving, you get into a situation, just call me and I will pick you up, but please do not do that.
And what if the kid says, yeah, but then you're going to punish me for being at a party where they were drinking?
No. It's not about punishment. It's about communication. So anytime you're in a situation where, you know, something is going on, where you're going to put yourself more at risk by being in a car with somebody who's drinking, or somebody is forcing you to participate in an activity which you know, hey, you shouldn't be doing, you know, just give me a call and I'll get you out of there.
Well, I mean, peer pressure, and certainly among boys, the peer pressure to do these types of things, drag race or right. jump into the river off a really high wall. Mm-hmm. You know, girls are not as subject to that kind of thing. Oh, they would look at a boy and say, that's so stupid. Why would you do that?
Yeah, and again, you know, we as adults have to sort of take some of the burden of the blame. You know, what do you see in some of these movies and videos of this very high risk behavior, a boy jumping off the roof of a house? You know, what are we teaching our teens when they see videos like that? So this is very, very difficult. So there's peer pressure, but also all the media, you know, the information they're getting, you know, sends them the wrong message.
Well, that's a whole nother show, Dr. Wibblesman. So what about things like, you know, if we know they're going to parties, if we know that some of their friends maybe, and you can't always pick your children's friends, have taken drugs, do you use those in-home drug tests? Do you say every week I'm going to give you a drug test, or I'm going to check you, I'm going to give a breathalyzer test before I let you leave the house, or when you come home from a party?
Yeah, you see, that's really an erosion of trust, because that's really telling your son, I don't trust you, I don't believe you. And if you're in that, if you're really into that situation where you're so concerned, you know, that your son is engaging in high-risk behavior and substance use, rather than doing home testing, which sometimes are not accurate, is really important. This is a red flag to get counseling and say, hey, you know, I'm having some issues. You know, I don't trust you. I feel bad about this, but we really need to get some counseling so that we can communicate better, because we're not communicating well because I now really do not trust you.
Okay, so just, you know, and I don't think it makes you a bad parent necessarily if you don't always trust your children, because some children do lie, don't they? Which doesn't make them bad children either. Some teenagers just lie because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble.
That is correct. They're like, they're all in a corner. They're like a caged animal. And I see this all the time in my practice. Have you ever had sex? No. But then, you know, we start to some details. Oh, yeah, I did last week. So again, sometimes, you know, they are very, very afraid to admit the truth. And we have to understand that. It's kind of part of dealing with adolescents. They do have a reason, but we really need to know that for whatever reason, they are very much afraid to tell us the truth.
And do you try and catch them in that lie? Do you point it out if you do?
Not so much catch them in the lie, but try to kind of ask the question again, make them feel more comfortable. Like, hey, you know, I've had lots of kids tell me that. It's not bad. You know, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to punish you. Just let's have a conversation. Let's talk about it.
So do you, if you know that they are not telling you the truth and you say, let's have a conversation, let's talk about it. And no, I don't want to talk about it. No, I don't want to talk about it. Do you then say, well, I know you're not telling me the truth?
Well, I think in a conversation like that, you maybe get to a point where you may have to, you know, continue this conversation at another time when maybe the heat is off. You know, I'll be perfectly honest with you, as a physician taking care of adolescents, I've had patients say, I've never had sex, and we do a urine pregnancy test, and it's positive. So, you got to go with what you go. And, you know, if indeed, you know, you're really concerned about risk behavior by your son, and obviously you're not able to have a resolution in your own conversation, then you really need to get some outside help and counseling.
I think that that's probably the crux of it all. But in about a minute and a half, Dr. Wibblesman, please wrap up the whole show for us. The puberty, boys growing, substance abuse, the aggressive behavior, kind of put it all into a neat little package for the listeners of how we can approach it as parents and retain our sanity.
Okay, well, I think parents need to realize that their little boy is going to become an adult, and becoming an adult is a tough road. Going through adolescence, middle school for many kids is the most difficult part of their life, because there's so much peer pressure, parental expectation. And just, you know, if you got to blame it on anything, blame it on the hormones, the aggressive behavior, the things that are going on, the feelings of being invulnerable. Well, I'm going to try this. I'm going to live forever. All of these situations, you know, we as parents need to be aware of, and need to, you know, so many parents say, gee, I survived my son's adolescence. Like, you know, like they're the ones who graduated from college, because it's a very difficult time. And again, it's really a matter of communication, accepting your son as he is, but realizing, you know, there are many issues associated with puberty in adolescence, risk behavior, again, and feeling invulnerable, we really need to guide them and help them. They may not want our help, but we, you know, they have two eyes, but we have two eyes. Sometimes these kids, they need four eyes to really protect them in this very, very critical time.
It is a critical time, and I have one last quick question for you, Dr. Wibblesman. We have about 10 seconds. As a parent, is it easier to raise a teenage girl or a teenage boy? Answer the question.
I think it can be difficult for both because you never know. The adolescents that I've lost to suicide or substance abuse are both boys and girls. So I don't think either one is easier.
Oh, I knew you were going to say something like that.
No, it's the truth. It's just the truth, and it's so difficult.
I know that it is. Thank you, Dr. Wibblesman, for being with us today. You've been listening to Healthy Children, the talk show for parents, where our guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with healthychildren.org. Thanks so much for being with us today. I'm Melanie Cole, and we'll talk to you very soon.